God will take care of you. We thank God for our music ministry and the Reverend Torrence Spears. You know, beloved, I asked Reverend Spears about 3 weeks ago to plan a rehearsal with a few of our choir members and to prepare them for music for the last two Sundays in December and for today and next Sunday. And he did, such a wonderful job. And I think I'm just going to appoint him as temporary music coordinator until we are in the position for hiring a new minister of music. Temporary music coordinator. He'll be responsible in addition to his responsibilities as pastoral associate for youth and young adult ministry for conducting a rehearsal and gathering our music ministry members together for worship on Sundays and for coordinating with our music staff. So we look forward to him sharing in that way. Thank you, Ryan, sharing that responsibility. So pray for him as his responsibilities expand. I want to wish you all a happy new year and blessings for 2021. God is faithful. God loves us all. So let us just trust God's grace and guidance in 2021. I want to also encourage you members as we begin this year to think and pray about stewardship. This year will be the year where we focus on stewardship, the stewardship of giving. We thank you for your support in 2020 and in the past, and we want to encourage you to pray this year that God might speak to all of us about our stewardship as servants of the church, as members of Ebenezer Third Baptist Church, and we thank you for all that you do. Let us prepare now for our scripture lesson. The text is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 and verse 21 from the New International Version. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. NIV. And the Bible says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." The word of our God. Guided by the peace of God. I wish that you would, if you've not already, read the book of Hebrews in your leisure moments. It's a beautiful book in the Bible. It provides great teachings for the church. The writer in Hebrews sagaciously reminds the church of the things that should shape Christian life and the things that should shape Christian relationships. And there's so much in this book that is really powerful. He tells the church to keep loving one another because love is the crowning virtue of the Christian life. He tells the church to show hospitality to strangers, noting that a stranger might just be an angelic messenger of God. He tells the church to remember those in prison, especially those who are suffering for the work of Jesus Christ, that we ought to be compassionate about those who are incarcerated. He tells the church to remember her leaders and imitate their faith, to remember those who have ministered the word to them, and because they are examples of the path that Christians should follow. And in Hebrews, he talks about offering a sacrifice of praise, offering a sacrifice of praise to God. What an interesting expression that our praise should be an offering to God. God is worthy of praise. And he says to the church that they ought to do good and share with others. That part of our calling as Christians is to be living examples of our faith and to serve others with our gifts and resources. And so the book is filled with powerful admonitions, not only for the recipients of the letter, the first audience of the Hebrew letter, but also for us as we begin this new year. If we have learned anything from 2020, we have learned to expect the unexpected, and we have learned that change will occur. Only God can sustain us. Only God can guide us through the unexpected and through the certainty of change. And so, after all these admonitions in the book of Hebrews, the writer comes to this concluding chapter and offers the words of our text. He provides a beautiful benediction. That's what these verses contain, a beautiful benediction, which is a prayer for God's blessings. And he also provides a doxology, which is a formula for expressing praise to God. As we begin this year, I want to focus upon this benediction and doxology, because it is important for us to enter this new year grounded in the foundations of our faith. And I think that this benediction and this doxology present some things about God that will keep us grounded this year. Listen again to this powerful benediction and doxology. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Powerful. The writer begins by entrusting the saints to the God of peace. He entrusts, he places the saints in the hands of the God of peace. Because the text says, now may the God of peace. He ends this concluding chapter with, now may the God of peace. And we begin this year with the God of peace. What a comforting phrase, the God of peace. It's an expression of the nature of God. God is peace. It's an expression of the activity of God. God provides peace. God offers shalom, a state of comfort and assurance of God's presence and protection. And it's also an expression of the objective of God. God secures peace with humanity. God of peace. How does God secure peace? God does it, the writer says, through the blood of the eternal covenant. In other words, peace is made possible through Christ's sacrifice for us. Through the death of Jesus, we obtain peace with God. The writer speaks about this eternal covenant, and I like that phrase, eternal covenant, because it reminds me and us of the faithfulness of God, that God has kept his redemptive purposes in place across generations, that God has kept God's promises across generations. So we are entrusted to the God of peace. We are entrusted to the God who secures our peace through the death of Jesus Christ. Now that's a blessing right there. We begin this year upon the foundation of peace with God, so that whatever happens this year, we begin with the assurance that we have peace with God. But the writer also tells us in this benedictory phrase that God raised Jesus from the dead and brought back to the world that great shepherd of the sheep. So this God of peace is no slouch. This God of peace has power. God raised Jesus from the dead. Death is no match for God. So when the writer says, now may the God of peace, he entrusts the saints to someone whose majesty, whose sovereignty, and whose power are unparalleled. We begin this year, sisters and brothers, under the guidance of the God of peace. Years ago, many of you watching are old enough to remember that President Ronald Reagan euphemistically referred to those weapons of mass destruction as peacekeepers. I've said that to you before. And his point was, as long as our country has those weapons, other nations have to think seriously about attacking us. It comes from that mentality. If you are armed and you are able to defend yourself, nobody will bother you, so carry your arms. And I get that. But the 9/11 terror attacks taught us that those peacekeepers do not always stop folk from doing what they intend to do. Some folk are just going to come after you anyway. And COVID-19 has taught us that a virus can have a universal impact upon humanity. It can reach and destroy lives all over the globe. And I'm not suggesting that we don't take steps to protect ourselves from danger. I am suggesting that we have to be careful about determining who or what is ultimately in charge. And what I'm suggesting is that not all peacekeepers are created equal. They might be weapons of mass destruction, but not all peacekeepers are created equal. And we begin this year with the God of peace. No person and no situation can match what God can do. So go with the God of peace this year. So the writer says that now may the God of peace, he entrusts the church to the God of peace. And he also teaches that the God of peace will prepare us to accomplish his purposes. He says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing God's will, doing his will. The writer wants the church to remember that only God can equip the saints with the resources needed to get things done. That word equip means to prepare. That the lifestyle and the behaviors we referenced earlier, loving one another, showing hospitality to strangers, remembering those in prison, doing good and sharing with others, those behaviors are only possible through the resources God provides. This year, God will prepare us with what is necessary to accomplish God's purposes. The point is, we don't have to go at it alone. We don't have to trust in our ability alone to do God's work. God will supply what we need to carry out God's will in the world. This is no my paper. But beloved, if God wants to send you someplace, and if God wants to give you an assignment, that when you get there, God will provide what you need to function in that assignment. God will give you the resources that you need to carry out the assignment God has given to you. He will supply it. I'm glad about that. Because last year caught a lot of us off guard. All of a sudden, we had to shift from in-person worship to virtual worship. We had to shift our routines and patterns of behavior. We had to shift our lives to deal with coronavirus, and we are still not out of the woods. And the lesson is, we don't know what this year will bring. We don't know what we'll face, but the writer reminds us that the God of peace will prepare us to carry out God's purposes this year. The Bible says in Philippians 2 and 13, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. God will give us what we need this year, beloved, to carry out his purposes in the world. Now, about 2 months ago, I decided to purchase some clippers to do my own haircut. I figured that if Reverend Spears can cut his own hair, that I could cut my own hair. I figured that it was just a matter of running the clippers on the sides and on the back. And, you know, of course, I got the clippers and it has all worked out fine. I've only had the biggest problem trying to trim all the hair on the top. You see, the hair on the top is a little fine and it's more difficult to trim. But I think I've done a good job. But one thing I couldn't do is edge or line the sides and the back to make the cut look a little sharper. I don't have that skill yet, but I saw an invention on television. It's called the Cut Buddy. It was invented by a black man, a young black man who was featured on Shark Tank. He invented this little plastic thing that looks like sort of a rounded ruler. And you place it on your face and then you follow the edge with the clippers. You can even place it on your face and draw sort of an outline edge and use the outline that you've drawn to follow with the clippers. I love it. So I'm ordering me a cut buddy, and I'm going to get one for Reverend Spears too, a cut buddy. Because all I have to do is follow the process. Everything is already worked out for me. I like that. And that's what the God of peace does. He's already worked things out. He's already put the plans and the resources in place. All we need to do this year is follow God's plan and tap into the resources that God has already provided. The God of peace. We are ushered into the presence of the God of peace, and the God of peace will prepare us. And then one more thing. This benediction and doxology teach that the God of peace will work in us and work through us. The text again says, now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you. So he will prepare us with everything good for doing his will. And then it says, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The text says, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate goal for the people of God. As we move into this year, we really want God to do something in us. And we want God to do something through us. And the writer entrusts the saints to the God of peace so that God can work in us. This means that in order for change to occur through us, change must occur in us. God has to continually transform us into the image of Christ, so that the life of Christ might spill out of us in the world. This year, we offer ourselves to God's workshop. We pray for God to work on us and make us better servants. We offer our hearts. We offer our minds. We offer our perspectives. Beloved, offer your perspective to God. Quit going around thinking you know everything. You're so smart. And that your position is the right position. Offer our perspectives to God, and we ask God to fix us, to shape us and to renew us. And the writer uses the word working, which refers to the power of Christ to bring about change. So that the God of peace is the worker. He's the enabler. He is the one who, through Jesus Christ, transforms us from the inside out. And when God works in us, we are in the position for God to work through us. That's our prayer for 2021. We become the people of God so that we can go out and be the presence of God in the world. Let me go back to that young man who invented the cut buddy. He says that he first came up with the idea when he was about 11 years old as a result of enduring endless haircuts from his father. He decided he wanted to cut his own hair. And he shelved that idea of this cut buddy for years. And one day his wife said to him, "You never finish anything." And that comment sank deeply into his heart and his mind. And he made the decision that day to do something about his invention. He took his savings, he got a patent, and developed a prototype. And the rest is history. He's had more than $5 million in sales because of that comment that his wife made. "You never finish anything." It started with a comment that led to an internal shift in the man's spirit and attitude. And that internal shift changed his behavior. And that's what God does for us. God works in us to shape us and perfect us. And then God is able to send us out into the world to be the presence of Christ. God has started working in us, Ebenezer. God is transforming our congregation so that we can carry out the ministry that God has assigned to us. God hasn't gotten us caught up in all this technology only to let us retreat back to the way things were before the pandemic. God wants us to use our social media platforms. God wants us to use technology and all the resources that we've been employing during this pandemic to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to do things differently, to do things better. So maybe we can continue to have virtual Sunday school. Maybe we can continue to worship virtually from time to time, or have virtual prayer meeting from time to time, or Bible study virtually from time to time, to do things differently, to connect in ways that we hadn't connected prior to the pandemic. We want to be used of God this year. And this year we trust the God of peace. We want God to get the glory out of our lives. Listen to these words. "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing his will, and may he work in us what is pleasing to him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen." These words are both a benediction, a prayer for God's blessing, and a doxology, a formula for giving praise to God. And one scholar looking at these verses suggests three important words that capture this benediction and this doxology. And those words are from, through, and to. Everything comes from the God of peace. Whatever we do happens through the God of peace in Christ, to the end that we bring glory to the God of peace. From, through, to. There was a member of St. John Church Baptist in Chicago whose name was Eva Danks. She now sleeps in the lap of eternity. She was a retired school teacher, and at St. John's, Sister Danks had been president of the Department of Missions. She had been a Sunday school teacher and a member of the inspirational choir. She was a very bubbly, enthusiastic, and spiritual woman who loved coming to Wednesday night prayer meeting. And often on Wednesday night, she would testify. And Sister Deng's testimonies were always memorable because they didn't follow the standard thought or pattern of a testimony, because she trusted God for everything. And on a Wednesday night, Sister Deng would testify about praying as she was in the grocery store parking lot for a close parking spot at the grocery store. And she would say, and I turned the corner, and there it was, a parking spot close to the door. God did that for me. That would be her testimony. And then she would testify about driving home on a rainy day and asking God to stop the rain so she wouldn't get wet when she got out of the car. And sure enough, according to Sister Danks, when she arrived home, it would be raining on one side of the street and the rain had stopped falling on the side where her house was located. And I'd be saying to myself, Sister Danks, come on. That's her testimony. She would testify about somebody snatching her empty purse and how God protected her because there was nothing in her purse because she had taken her money and tucked it under her wig. And the robber didn't check her wig. That was her testimony. But Sister Eva Danks believed that every blessing she received came from God. And all that she possessed was provided by God. She believed that whatever she accomplished, whatever service she rendered, she did it through the grace and power of God. She believed that every area, even the mundane, the minute areas of her life, were sustained by and superintended by God. And the result was that in everything, Sister Danks gave the glory to God. If she got a good place in line, she gave God the glory. If God told her to go visit somebody and they served her lunch that day, she gave God the glory. What a blessing to have those three words, from God, through God, and give the glory to God. That's what I leave with you this year, beloved. From God, through God, give the glory to God. God bless you. Let us receive the invitation. Beloved, it is my pleasure to welcome you now to the table of the Lord for the first time in 2021. Will you join me as we sing an old familiar hymn, There is a Fountain Filled with Blood. Sinners plunged and sinners plunged beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Amen. Let us prepare to receive the Lord's body and blood. Paul, writing to the church at Corinth, says, For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. After the same manner, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let us pray. Dear God, we come now on this first Sunday of the year to offer our elements, those here, those in our homes, to you for your consecration and your blessing. Bless the bread, bless the juice, bless the wine, elements representing your body and your blood. And consecrate us, O God, that as we go through this year, guided by the God of peace, we know that you will prepare us for your purposes. We know that you will work in us and work through us. Let us offer ourselves to your power. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. As we eat and drink together, let us remember the Lord Jesus. I remember. And now let us prepare our hearts for the benediction. Again, Happy New Year, beloved, and blessings to all of you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we thank you for another Lord's Day and the blessed privilege of worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We thank you that on this first Sunday of the year, we are gathered with the people of God in this place, in our homes, in many places, just to give your name the praise for who you are and for all that you do for us. We thank you, Lord, for reminding us that this year, as in past years, we are guided by the God of peace, that we have been entrusted to the God of peace. That's a God of power, a God who raised Jesus from the dead and brought back to us the great shepherd of the sheep. We thank you for the God of peace being in our lives. That represents the nature of God. God is peace. That represents the activity of God. God secures peace. That represents the objective of God, to secure peace through the death of Jesus Christ. And then, oh God, thank you for reminding us that the God of peace will equip us, will prepare us for God's purposes this year. Whatever your will is, you will provide the resources that we need. And thank you for reminding us that you will be working in us. You're working in us so that you can work through us. Help us to avail ourselves to the God of peace and remember this year from God, through God, and give the glory to God. And now may the blessings of God be upon you. May God equip you with all you need to do his will. May lead you forth with joy and sustain you by his perfect peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.